Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life After Happiness. Today, when my co-host Barha gets on, we're going to be talking about a story that she has about the boyfriend that marries her best friend. And give me one second here. Okay, she's trying to connect to the switchboard. Basically, what we do is we do these Tuesday shows. It's to give us a chance to talk to one another, you know? And that's basically what this is. And it was Barbara that told me about this idea that she had. And that was what made me made us decide to do the show. So let's see here when she connects. She is trying to connect, but so let me see something here. Okay. She's trying to connect. Okay. Give me one second here. And I don't want there to be dead air, but let's wait a little bit. Let's see her try to call in. Okay. Okay, let's see. She'll be here soon. Okay. All right. She's still trying. So what we'll do is we'll just sit here and wait. The Okay. All right. Let's be sure. Barbara, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, that's great. Now, what I did was I basically said that you had a story that you wanted to tell for the show. Is that correct?
Well, just tell them what our topic is, Johnny, and then
When your boyfriend marries your best friend.
Oh, what was that?
When your boyfriend marries your best friend.
This did happen to me, yes, right out of high school.
Yeah.
Ha ha! So I just thought, let's grab a topic and talk about it.
The reason I have gotten to
this topic is because I had this little blue suitcase hanging around all the time. And my daughter said, "What is in that little blue suitcase?" And I said, "Those are all my love letters from my high school boyfriend, and also letters just from people throughout the years I just always threw them in this little blue suitcase. Well, she got very interested because she is of the same age I was when I had this boyfriend in high school. And so that would be very interesting for her to get some insights of my life at her age. It made me feel good that she was really interested in it. So we sat here a couple nights ago, and we went through every single letter, and I read every single one to her, and she had a lot of comments, and it was fun. It was really fun.
Now, do you mind saying who this best friend is, or would you rather keep it a secret?
No, it's not a secret. This best friend wouldn't be anybody you would know. This best friend was a best friend. I had a few best friends in high school. This best friend was the one that I sat with all the time in band. We both played the flute, so we got close from being in band. Not sports or anything else, but just band. And we were always, for years, sitting next to each other. So, of course, we were very close. And I had her in a couple classes. I had her in home ec. In home ec, you can chat a lot. So I would update her on how my relationship was going because we're very young. She hadn't had a serious boyfriend yet. And here I am, smack dab, a very, very serious relationship where it's like we loved each other more than anything. Puppy love is very powerful. Have you ever had a puppy love, Johnny?
Oh, yeah. I've had lots of puppy loves.
Oh, yeah?
You know? I mean, it's just sort of, I don't know what it is. I think what it is, though, is that when I let go of the puppy love, I tend to get taken advantage of. So I it's more of a, like, caring now, you know?
Well, that's why call it puppy love, because that is only a certain time in your life that you really can have that, is when you are a puppy, which means super young, school age, and a student in school. So you have a different feeling when you have a first puppy love because it's so strong. It's new. It's just different. You'd never felt anything like that before. So when you say, oh, now it's different now. Well, of course, I mean, you're like in your 40s, so of course it's different.
I'm 51.
It's never going to be the same. It's not going to be the same after you're out of school. It's a puppy love because you're so young. So you had a lot of these puppy loves when you were in school?
Oh, yes. Well, it was harder because I couldn't drive, so.
Well, was it reciprocal, though, the person that you were infatuated with?
No. I've only had, actually, I mean, one lady I think was reciprocated, and it was puppy love. The other one was, you know, more of an adult thing, you know. And then, you know, there are relationships where you get hurt, you know, and that's sort of what I would say about that. But you said that with this guy, it was puppy love?
I'm saying it's puppy love because of our age. So let's get that straight. Puppy love means you're young. You're of school age. What do you think puppy love is?
I'd say childlike innocence, you know, sort of you know, kids, when a kid wants to be nice, a kid can be extremely nice, you know. But the kid doesn't know. I think what it is the kid doesn't know everything, you know. He doesn't know a lot. Like, so what happens is that the naive, it's naive, but it's sort of puppy love. Like, here's a good example. My nephew was this kid, You know, he was like 6 or 7 or something. And he thought that the year that he was supposed to become get married was when he turned 11. Okay? So, this girl...
Why would he think that? 11? Why would he think that?
I don't know. He thought being 11 was an adult. And this other girl, she asked him to get to marry him when he turned 11. Well, you know, he didn't understand, you know, the concept of what 11, what it meant and everything. And then, you know, sometimes, like, you know, when you have, like, my other nephew, Van, who will say things like, when I see her, I have hearts growing out of my head. You know.
That would be puppy love, yes.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about autistic puppy love, which can be...
Well, no, I think autistic people can fall in love. I mean, I do think they can fall in love, Barbara. I just think that they have a way of expressing it that's a little different than everybody else, you know.
That's true. So then if they had a best friend in school and that best friend married their girlfriend, how would they feel? I mean, are we talking about that or...
They probably wouldn't think anything of it. It's just that they tend to be very into like I think they're all at the age where they fall hard now. They're still at that age, you know, where they get hypnotized. If that makes any sense.
I don't know. Does it make sense to you out there? Everybody, does that make sense to you? And do we have any callers?
No, we don't, but I did advertise it.
Has your boyfriend or your girlfriend that you were really madly in love with? You both loved each other in high school. You had this amazing puppy love. Did they go on right after your breakup, even though you got a letter that said that you would like to get back together, but only if you make the first move, because it's not going to be them? Well,
is that what happened with you?
It did happen with me. We did have a breakup, and then I went to go be a flight attendant in another state at 18, and then he called me shortly after that and said that he was dating my best friend. So that was nice of him to, where it came from him, you know what I mean? So I didn't have to hear from anybody else. But my best girlfriend that I talked to every single day never even talked to me ever again, as long as she lived. So that was odd. So it's like I lost a best friend. I didn't lose much, actually. Here's the thing. When he told me that he was dating her, I was shocked because I didn't think that he would ever like her. So that was really shocking to me. But I wasn't around, so I don't know how it all went down or happened. I just knew them both so well, I just didn't think that they would go well together. So I was initially shocked, and it was an awkward phone call. But just think about it, Johnny. I was already moved on, basically, because I was a flight attendant in Nashville from Seattle, and I was a woman starting my career and my life. So what do I have to say about it? It's not up to me. It doesn't matter what I think, who he marries, but how do I feel? That's the question. I'm looking back at it, and I just am dumbfounded. I just can't believe it. How do I feel? Well, it's odd. It's weird. I think I just pushed it out of my mind and just went on with my life and never tried to get back with him, even though that last letter from his college that he sent me opened it up to getting back together. I just said no. And I was a woman, and I was moving on. So that's what I remember, but I do remember everyone around me who heard about it. They were mad. They were the ones who were upset. So then I thought, maybe I should be upset. Maybe this is odd. Maybe this is weird. So I talked to my mother, and guess what, Johnny?
What?
The same thing happened to my mom. Yes.
Oh, really?
Her high school boyfriend married her best friend. So that's why I am doing the show. Cause what is it with that? They're not really meant to be together.
Actually, I will tell you this, though. This is a true story. My father, he dated my aunt before he dated my mom.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. That's interesting, though. How did your aunt feel when he went towards your mom? Did she care, or was she thinking, oh, that's a great guy, didn't work out with us, so...
They didn't care. They just sort of... I think the thing is that, you know, whenever I asked my father, I said, you know, what is it about mom that he goes, your mother is the nicest lady you'll ever meet. She never gets upset. She's mad. She never, you know, says an unkind word to anybody. I mean, you know, she's just nice.
He loved that about your mom. But does that mean your
aunt? And here's an interesting fact.
But your aunt was nice too.
Yeah, but here's an interesting fact. On January the 20th, that's my father's birthday, but also their anniversary.
Oh, we got married on his birthday?
Yeah.
Wow, that's an interesting date to choose, isn't it?
January 20th, yeah, it's an inauguration.
Why do they do that? Because usually they don't want to share a birthday with an anniversary, but now they have to for the rest of their lives.
Well, I know that their birthday dinner was an IHOP, you know, I mean, I've always been wondered, like, are there any wedding pictures? You know, I've never seen any. So they said that they had a real small ceremony.
Maybe they were really young. They didn't have a huge budget for a big wedding. And it didn't even matter because they were so in love. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
I think that's probably what happened. So great. Anyway, why do you think, Johnny, that everybody else besides me was really upset that my best friend married my boyfriend, my puppy?
Because sometimes people have people in their life that they're rooting for with you, and it's not necessarily who you wound up with.
Yes, but they didn't want anybody to do me wrong, what you're saying, and they thought maybe that hurt me, and they didn't like it. But then my mom was saying, okay, this happened to me too, and she still was really good friends with her high school girlfriend. It didn't stop them from being friends, and I thought, I wish that would be the same with mine, but mine never wanted to talk to me again, so... Is that meaning that she felt a little guilt? Was there a little guilt for marrying my boyfriend? Because I did tell her a lot of intimate details about things I was experiencing every single day, new. So here's the thing. I think that in the end, whatever anybody feels, whatever I felt, whatever anybody else felt, she basically got it back with whatever the universe was dishing out in karma. She got it back because then I heard that when I became a Playboy Playmate and I went to my high school reunion, I was 27 and I became a Playmate at 25. I was pretty much a fresh, brand new Playboy Playmate going to a 10-year high school reunion. I'm basically entering the place like I'm this big star, because I was. I mean, that's a big deal. Somebody from your school is a Playboy playmate. I mean, Hugh Hefner was everybody's hero. And it was a cool moment, I must admit. So I see her there. I'm pulling up in a long white stretch limo with my other best friend, by the way. I have a very, very true best friend. And that's another thing I would like to say, is this true, true, true best friend, she never would have done that. She never would have done that. So was I close enough to the other one to make her not want to do it? I don't think so. Because this best friend that I had, who still is my best friend, Jennifer, she never would have done that. She never would have married my guy. She never would have married my guy. I mean, basically, that was my guy. She would not have married my guy. I know that for a fact. So, anyway, mm-hmm. We show up in this white stretch limo to the 10-year high school reunion in our country town there, Monroe. And we pull up, and there I see Cindy walking alone on the sidewalk into the venue, which was some tavern. And I said, get in. Hey, Cindy, get in, get in. I knew that she had married my high school sweetheart. And I said, Jill, get in, get in. Hi, Cindy, get in. She got in. She had just had their first baby. So I said, let me guess. His name is Hunter.
Hunter?
And then middle name is Field. She's like, yeah, how did you know? Well, how did you not know I knew, since I told you that when he said we had our baby, the first baby's name is going to be Hunter Field. So, yeah, he did. He named the baby what he told me he was going to name our baby.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, he did. He named it the same name he was telling me about. You can look it up on Facebook right there. It's all over the place. Little high school kid now, age that they had. This, by the way, everybody, is a long time ago, because I graduated high school in 1986. So I was a flight attendant by 87, 88 in Nashville. They must have gotten married around there. They had their kid probably 88, something like that. So then you're having your 10-year high school reunion. Anyway, that's all I remember. I've been to the 10-year and the 20-year, so they kind of mix together. It's odd. It does. It kind of mixes together, these reunions.
Mm-hmm.
So all I know is I found out that, and then she got out of the limo. And so, see, I broke the ice. And there was a big ice to be broken. I broke the ice and was okay with it and cool with it. Granted, I was really on my way. First of all, when I was 18, 19, and he called and he was with her, I just had my first major career move job, which was flight attendant, and I moved to a new city. Then when the 10-year high school reunion came, they were on their first kid, and I was a brand new playmate. So you see how the paths kind of were different?
Mm-hmm.
The path of the normal path. And I had something more special planned in life. And that's what my real best friend Jennifer told me. Oh my goodness, you're having a life. They're just doing what everybody, all the normal, regular people do, which, hey, normal, regular people, that's great for you, too. Wonderful. Have your families. Raise them. That's great. I'm just telling you my story. And I'm hoping that we're going to get some callers and maybe somebody else has a story just like it. I know two stories, mine and my mom's.
Okay.
Do you find it interesting at all, Johnny? Do you find this interesting?
Well, I think what's interesting about it is that people wind up dating other people in their lives. They don't think it's going to be the person that we think it's going to be. Does that make sense? Like, obviously that's not how things are planned. If that makes any sense.
I actually never even was planning on marrying him. I wasn't even thinking like that in high school. When I had my puppy love, all I could think about was that moment. Enjoy the moment that's happening right then. I wasn't thinking, oh, in 5 years I'd like to be married and I'd like to be having a kid named Hunter Field. I wasn't thinking like that. So I obviously was not the right person for this person. But what was interesting, reading through all of the love letters, they're the ones who, they were the one who wanted to be the model. They were the one who wanted to be the famous actor. They were the ones who wanted to move to Los Angeles. And it's written all in black and white in the love letters. They wanted to be the famous person. Nothing to do with me being famous or me being a model or an actress. That wasn't in their cards. They didn't want that. They probably wanted somebody to work at the Alderwood Mall and be their girlfriend and wife while they went and were famous. That's really the truth. It's written down. The person wanted to be famous. He wanted to be a famous Hollywood star. It's written, black and white. Granted, a lot of young people grow up having these dreams. Don't they, Johnny?
Yes.
They have these dreams of being a star. They have dreams of being a model. I wonder if he ever did go into an agency, and I wonder what they said. I mean, he was a very good-looking guy.
Hmm. Wow. The,
He didn't model. He didn't do any of that. I'm just wondering what he thinks. What does he think? Hello, how are you? Hi, I don't want to really say his name. Hi, how are you? How are you doing? How are you feeling? I'd like to know. Should I give him a call?
Do you want to call him?
Yes.
On here, on the air?
Yes, but I don't have his phone number.
Oh.
We could look it up. Do you want to look it up in the Monroe directory?
Monroe, California?
Monroe, Washington. I'm not from California. I'm from Seattle, Washington, the great Northwest, Johnny. Remember? I'm not from California.
I understand that. Now, I don't know how to look up a number on Monroe. All I know is, how do you do that?
Monroe, Washington. Why don't you Google it? I'll text you the name when you call him up.
Monroe, Washington.
Yes. But maybe they live in Everett, which is right next door. I don't know. You got to find it. But I got to text you the name because I don't want to say it right now.
Monroe Phone Directory. Okay, let's see here. I mean, we can try. We might want to
see. Johnny's looking it up. Everybody, Johnny's looking it up. How to call somebody, how to look up the phone directory. Monroe, Washington. I just sent him the name to look up. Let's see if Johnny can get that done. Then we'll give him a call. We'll call him right up.
This is an old boyfriend?
Well, what do you mean? You're acting like you just came on the show.
No. Sorry, I'm looking him up right now. It's a public record to see if I can find something. Where do they live? Do you know what city they live? Are you not sure?
He's not living anymore, but I believe he lives in Monroe, Washington State.
Monroe. Okay.
I won't be too happy to get my phone call, especially when it's it's going to be on air.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll let you do the talking.
I mean, I'm doing a search for a number, but let's see.
I'll continue to give more details about this.
Yeah.
Oh, this is what I wanted to say. I don't know this person. You know, I was trying to figure this out. You read a bunch and you're trying to figure out what people are thinking and why they did things. You're not going to know. This is what I know. I know a 16-year-old, 15, 17-year-old boy. That's all I know. That's who I know. What is that? That's not much. That's knowing a little boy. That's knowing a little boy. That's all I know. I don't know a man. I don't know this man. I don't know the man who became. I have no clue. All I know is this boy at 16, how he felt, how I felt. I don't know a man at 21, 22, 25, 30, 40, 50. I don't know this man. I have no idea who he is and
okay.
What he thinks. Yes.
I have a number for the name that you gave me in Monroe, Washington.
Really?
Yeah. Do you want me to text you the number?
Sure.
Okay, I'm not saying this is the right number, but this is what we have. Okay.
I will call him up. I will ask him. What happened? Actually, I don't even know what happened, why she died. Like, I want to know about the drug overdose. I want to know. Okay, I see the number. Hold on, I'm going to write it down. Okay, well, thank you. Now I have his number. I'm sure it is, because that's an odd name, right? How many of those names came up?
Well, they didn't all came up with that. They came up. See, the thing is, you gave me a first, middle, and last name.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the names that came up were first and last names. But that was the only one that I saw on the list that was the first, middle, and last name.
Oh, see? Because that is an odd name. Okay, great. So I have his number here. I just feel like maybe that's disrespectful to call him up right now on air and spring a question on him. And I don't think that's really the way I want to do it. Sorry, everybody. I'm kind of chickening out a little bit about just calling him up and saying, hey, why'd you do that? Because this is their life.
But are you going to try calling him later?
Yes. Well, I'm chickening out, Johnny. Do you want to call for me?
Call for you? What am I going to say?
I don't know. Do you think I should do this? Should I call him now?
I probably wouldn't call him on the show because he's going to... If it is a conversation, even if it is one, he's not going to want to have a long conversation with you on the air, you know.
No. Yeah, we have to tell him on the air, right?
Yeah. I mean, now, not to say that he wouldn't be open to calling you on the air, but, you know, if you get to know him, but probably not now. I mean, it's a nice thought, but... Now, I think what I would do, honestly, is call him later, and then that way we'll have something to talk about on Friday.
Okay.
That sounds like the thing to do.
Yeah. It just seemed odd that the person who you really were in love with in high school then just does something like that. To me, it just seems odd. To me, it just kind of ruined everything. To me, it just seemed like, what, why, and what's going on, and was she thinking all these thoughts when I was telling her my intimate details? But I know that he never thought of her as anything when we were going out. I know because in the letters, he even wrote, I don't like it when you hang out with her because she smokes cigarettes. And I don't condone that, and I don't like it whatsoever. And every time I see you hanging out with that person and I see you're smoking cigarettes, I don't like it. Okay, well, that's the person he married, a cigarette smoker, and she probably kept smoking. Because if you're doing drugs, you're usually smoking cigarettes, too. You don't normally get a cigarette. And I'm not really surprised about it. I'm not surprised about the drug thing, even though dying of it is very serious. I was just thinking, if anybody said, oh, this person's going to be a drug addict and she's going to be found dead on a bathroom floor, I wouldn't think that would be my friend. I didn't see that coming. I'm wondering if it had anything to do with me and the horrible jealousy, probably. Johnny, you know, there's Playboy Playmates out there. How do the other girls out there feel about the Playboy Playmates in the world?
Well, they,
when
you know,
was taking one.
I think that you know, when you're friends with a lot of them, you don't really get fazed. But
what's the off? Sorry.
Hmm?
I just told Alexa to turn off. She just turned on by accident. Okay, go ahead. Go on.
But, you know, I think that you have to sort of put aside the preconceived notions when you start becoming friends with them. You know, it's, if that makes any sense.
No. Can you repeat it?
Okay. There's some preconceived notions that people may have about somebody who's a Playboy Playmate. So they have to kind of put that aside.
Yeah, but this person knew me before I was a Playboy Playmate.
Oh, okay.
Duh. He was my puppy love. So he obviously didn't know me in high school, and then I became a Playmate years later. Let's see. If I was 18, 6 years later, I became a Playboy Playmate right before the 10-year high school reunion, which he did go to, and I talked to him there. Because he was with her. He was her husband, and she was at her 10-year high school reunion, and he was there as her husband. So obviously I'm coming to my 10-year high school reunion not even thinking he will be there, but he's there because he's her husband going with her. So he was there, and I did talk to him, and it was loud in the tavern. And I asked him, what do you do? And he said, I do this. What do you do? I do this. What do you do? I do this. I couldn't hear. I couldn't hear. I couldn't hear. And he finally just blurted out, I make doors. Okay, cool. Like construction, interior, builder, all that kind of thing. That's what I thought that he would be doing. He was in that business before, but cool. Okay, fine. But that was the extent of the conversation because it was loud and there was a band and I'm just trying to chat with him and it was loud, okay? So that was the extent of it. But he did ask my boyfriend something. Oh, by the way, Johnny, I did arrive with a man, my boyfriend. My boyfriend was the owner of Sirens Model Management in Beverly Hills and gorgeous, tall, gorgeous, dark and handsome boyfriend I had, who I brought. We are showing up in a limo, and he's so cute. Well, the boyfriend from high school did strike up a conversation with him and he asked him something, and I can't even say it on air. I will not. I won't say it on air because it will be detrimental to the person who asked the question of my boyfriend. Okay? I'm not even going to go there. I'm not going there.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting. It was one of those moments where you go and everything goes well. Everything goes absolutely perfectly great. Then Jennifer, my best friend, and I went back to the 20-year high school reunion. Same old thing happened. Same thing. 10 years later could have been 1 year later. This really did happen.
Wow.
It really did happen to me. It really happened. Okay, everybody knew that he and I were the it couple. Everybody was aware of this great couple out there, us. Okay, we both had number one on our jerseys. I was the star second base softball player. He was the star second base baseball player. We both wore number one jerseys. Even in the love letters, he's like, you get that number from so-and-so because she does not deserve to wear it. This is some other chick. You deserve to wear number one. I ended up getting it. I finagled it. I got that number one jersey, and we both wore for those 3 years of high school. Both of us wore the jersey number one, and we were starters on our teams. Heroes on the teams, actually. I went to state, hello. Our Monroe High School softball team hadn't gone to state since no team in Monroe had gone to state since 1953. 1953, the year that Marilyn Monroe was the first Playboy Playmate in Playboy magazine, was the time that our school actually went to state for a championship. And I was the one who brought them there. One of the ones on the team that brought them there. Okay, so we were very athletic. We had that in common. And I was a cheerleader for him when he played football. And she wasn't. She wasn't a cheerleader. She wasn't a softball player. She wasn't a volleyball player. She wasn't any player. She did play the flute with me in band. That's it. So for me to have such a connection with this person, with sports, and every connection that we had together for the first time, I just didn't see it. Just didn't see him going to her. I'm asking you, Johnny, as my best guy friend, do you think that maybe he liked her just because she was kind of a little bit of a part of me?
No. That's possible. I mean, it you know, guys do see women and then they see it in other women. I mean, they probably don't tell the women this because it stops them from feeling unique. But, you know, it does happen. I mean, because what happens is that, like, there's this, I've met women who I think, you know, I mixed both of my ex-girlfriends together, and then I get this lady, you know, so it does happen.
Really? Yeah, really?
Yeah, it's possible.
So that wasn't a dumb question.
What?
So it's not a dumb question that
no,
I had.
No, it's not.
Maybe a piece of me was there for him to grab by taking her on.
Oh, yeah. It's possible. Because, I mean, guys, and see, the thing is that they're not going to tell you this because it makes you, okay, like if he was to tell you that, well, you know, this is, you know, when I look at her, I see her as sort of a mixture between this person and that person. You're not going to want to hear that, you know, because it takes away from the individuality. Because you're going to be comparing yourself to this other girl. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
But the thing is, I think the reason why guys do that is, you know, it's true. Women are very, like, snowflakes, you know. It's not like one is better than the other or anything, but it's just that, like, they do look better past, at least I do. And I think of a woman who has a good personality, you know, I think, oh, yep, just like that, yes. You know, I've had women in my life where I've looked at, but yeah, like, I'd like to see that again, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think it does make sense. It makes them feel closer to you. Here they are, the next best thing. Right there. And they want you. This girl wanted him because, well, for one thing, he was the most gorgeous, good-looking, cute, so talented, great physique, height, hair, eyes, arms, talent, everything. He had it. And, you know, he's just been left with nobody because his puppy love just moved to Nashville to be a flight attendant. Well, that doesn't seem to promising for his future, does it? Even though he did write that letter to me to come back to him when I was a flight attendant, I have the date, I have the letter. I didn't even remember that, Johnny. Okay, well, Barbara's gone. Well, the friend, she's right there. She was always there. You know, she's similar. I'll try it. And then once a man has a little taste of a woman with an ample bosom, well, sometimes does the trick.
Yeah.
It's a powerful force, sexuality. And a woman offers their sexuality pretty soon. I'm not thinking about somebody so far away anymore.
Right.
And that brings me back to, well, I guess the love maybe wasn't really strong enough. Although, sometimes that doesn't matter. Sometimes it doesn't work out when you're young, and that's your puppy love. But guess what happened to my mother again?
What?
She was married for 30 years, and then she died of a rare lung disease. And her husband remarried again 6 months after she died. And guess who it was, Johnny?
Her best friend.
No. It was his puppy love relationship.
Oh.
Yes. His puppy love relationship that he had in early college years. That's who he went and married.
Wow.
Now, here's a question I have for you. Do you think that if I had it in my mind, Barbara Moore, I want that man in Monroe, Washington, and I played my cards, I researched everything I needed to do, I'm pretty good with people, I bet I could get him back, I bet I could marry that guy, if I wanted him, I bet I could.
Yeah.
Don't act too crazy. I'm just kidding. No, but I probably could. I mean, I don't want to, but what if I did? If I wanted him, I bet I could get him. What do you think, Johnny?
Oh, that's between you and him. I mean, I haven't even met
him. Oh, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear you say it. Of course you could.
Of course he could. Of course he could.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Right. So do you want to do the shout-out?
Do I want to do the shout-out? No, I want to go longer.
Okay.
I want to go longer. I want to pick your brain about what I should do. Okay, I read these love letters a couple days ago, every single one of them. My daughter is saying, oh, my God, Mom, he's so dumb. He's so stupid. Oh, my God, he wrote that. Oh, my God. I go, you're talking about a 16-year-old little boy. And that's what, bing, made me realize we're not talking about an adult relationship here. We're talking about a child. We're talking about a little teenage boy. So let's give him a little leeway here. Let's give him a little credit. Okay, you know, your girl leaves, she ups and leaves you. Well, first of all, what happened was the reason why we broke up was because my dad threw me for my senior party. He was already in junior college down south 30 minutes. He came up to enjoy a little bit of the end of my senior year keg party.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's cool, okay? He got me a couple kegs. All the high school kids were over. I had a softball game. We won. I show up late to my own party because I was playing softball. And I'm so excited. I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And everybody's enjoying the keg. They're enjoying the, like, the weenies and the big thing that my dad made. You know, my dad did it up right. He's a great guy. Well, my boyfriend came and he was very upset. He wanted to break up. Why? Because I was having too much fun. I was having too much fun. There were guys that were, like, saying Barbara's hot. There were guys around. There were guys in my house. There were guys everywhere. There were guys were everywhere. He couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle the freedom that I was experiencing. And also, when I was a senior in high school, the year that he went to college, this is my senior year in high school, okay? I'm with my best friend Jennifer going to Paramount in downtown Seattle, and every single time we went down there to see a concert, we never even had to pay. We were let in the back entrance. We were backstage. We were in the pit. We were meeting the band. I'm talking about in excess, okay? I'm talking about top bands of the 80s. And we were meeting every single one of them. And they were not letting all the other girls from our high school down in the pit because we saw them. And they weren't down there where we were. Maybe they didn't sport mini skirts as well as us because we were rocking it. And we were meeting, oh, my God, when Michael Hutchins spin me around and hug me and we have A-ha and Platinum Blonde and, oh, my God, the Goo Goo Dolls. And we're just R.E.M. meeting all of these 80s bands. Plus, my dad even flew me. He was a seaplane pilot. This drummer for Platinum Blonde, the Canadian rock band, the hairspray band, the hair band. Well, when we watched them, the drummer took a liking to me, and he invited me to Victoria, Canada, to watch his next concert.
Mm-hmm.
He booked my flight, Kenmore Air Harbor. My dad literally was appointed that flight to take his daughter, fly her to Victoria. He's so cool. Got it, babe. Sure do, Dad. Thanks. Dropped me off at the hotel. Front door.
Mm-hmm.
I'm partying with the rock band. Literally, Rob Lowe was there at the David Foster Celebrity Softball tournament, which was a cruise as well.
Didn't you say that you met David Copperfield too?
That's a different story, Johnny. David Copperfield's different. That's a different one. That's a different one. Okay?
All right.
David Foster was a huge, one of the biggest music producers in the world, was having this big event up there. And here I am. Okay, I'm arriving. Yeah, sure. I like the drummer okay, but I'm the high school girl, you know? And I see this guy from far away. And this guy looks at me from far away. And we lock eyes, and it was an instant connection. It was an instant attraction. Guess who that guy was? I just said his name.
No way.
Rob Lowe. The biggest heartthrob in the late 80s you can ever get. He was happening. He just did About Last Night, that movie, and we locked eyes. Oh, my goodness. Bam. And then I'm realizing, hello, I'm a little puppy lover over here in high school, but when I get out as a woman and I put these high heels on and this mini skirt on, I'm a, you know, whole new league. And I got a little taste of that weekend. Oh, my goodness. Well, the band was doing sound check. I'm up there listening to some music on the bow of the boat, on the cruise, with none other than this most gorgeous Rob Lowe. And he liked me because we locked eyes earlier, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. We snuck off into a little cabin in the cruise, and we did kiss. We were kissing. I'm like 16. I'm like a little high school girl. He didn't know that. Nothing bad happened. But it was electrifying. It was electrifying. I'm going to say that it was electrifying. And it was fantastic. I went back to high school the next Monday. I couldn't even tell a single soul except for my best friend, Jennifer. And that's not Cindy, who actually married my guy. I'm talking about my real friend, my real best friend, Jennifer Bennett. I'm telling her all about it. I'm like, you can't tell a single soul. You can't come back to high school and say, hey, man, I made out with Rob Lowe. No, you can't, because you got some guy, some jealous boyfriend in junior college down south that wouldn't like that very much. So, everybody, guess what? I guess I deserved it. I guess I deserve my high school boyfriend, who never knew about that, to go marry my best girlfriend, the other best girlfriend, okay? So guess what, everybody? I guess I deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Rob Lowe making outer deserved it. He married my best friend. But he never even knew I made out with Rob Lowe. He never knew that. So do I really deserve it?
Nothing bad. You didn't deserve anything bad.
I don't deserve anything bad. So that's kind of like how my high school is going. And since you did bring up the David Copperfield thing. So same time zone, everybody, same time frame, everybody. I went to a magic show in Tacoma, mm-hmm. Washington, with my best friend, Jennifer Bennett. I was chosen out of the audience. And continue to be continued.
Because when you're done bringing up, when you're done saying, talk about David Copperfield, I have a question about you, about him.
I'm done. That's to be continued. What's your question?
Okay. You do know about the list, right? That he's on it?
I don't know. No, I don't.
Okay. Recently, the list of people that were associated with David Epstein has come out. David Copperfield was on the list.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When did this come out?
It was a few days ago. There was this list of, like, celebrities. Stephen Hawking was on the list, and apparently these people. What? Yep, yeah, the people that have been associated with him, yes, and David Copperfield has been on the list, and you know,
doing what, Johnny?
We don't know. You know, that's the thing about this list is that just because you're on it, it doesn't mean you didn't necessarily do anything bad. It just means that, you know, you could have been mentioned.
Well, if they knew my story, it would be bad for David Copperfield because I was in high school.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised David Copperfield is on this list at all by the way he acted with me when I was a high school girl. I'm not surprised. This is crazy, Johnny. I didn't know this, and this is just new news.
Well, yeah. See, what's happened is for a long time, people have known about this list, but nobody really, we didn't know the list. The list wasn't made public. So what happened was that in about the past few days, it's all over TikTok. There's people talking about, you know, and a lot of the times there's like people who are making up, you know, who are making up like phony lists with people that are on it, which I don't like because it we really need to focus on the people that are actually on it, you know? And it just seems like these are people like that that are mentioned a lot in the document. There's people that are mentioned, you know, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they did anything. It just means that.
Sorry to interrupt you. What is the list of? The list.
Of people these are the list of people that David Epstein has associated with. Okay? But it doesn't mean that he did anything. It just means that there is some interaction, like, with him. Like, he interacted with these people. So, like, for example, Stephen Hawking, he did interact with Stephen Hawking. Bill Clinton, he did interact with Bill Clinton. Donald Trump, he interacted with Donald Trump. But, you know, it's just sort of like he has there's a long list of people of about, I think, something like 100-something names. The people that he's interacted with.
Okay, so it depends on the interaction that they're probably...
Right, yeah, it doesn't mean... Like, for example, his lawyer was in the list about a bunch of times, but that's only because that's his lawyer, you see. You know, of course he's going to be in the list because, you know, it's sort of like... It's like, but then there might be people that just, you know, had their picture taken with them once, you see, so.
Okay, but wait, what's going to happen to the people on the list that they find that they've done something wrong?
Big bad things, because.
Oh, big bad things?
What I'm saying is like, for example, there are some rumors, I'm not going to say it to be true, I'm just saying that there's rumors, that Prince Charles is on it. And there's also Hillary Clinton is on it. Now, the thing that's interesting about Hillary Clinton is after this all came out, that she was on the list, one of her social media accounts, they disabled comments after this happened. And, yeah, it's... It's in the news.
Well, this is crazy because maybe that's a reason why this is coming out right now. I have no idea, but for some reason, things just kind of work out for me to where there's some serendipity stuff going on, because there is an issue with David Copperfield, and now I'm finding out he's in the news again. What is the statute of limitation?
Oh, I don't know anything about the legal stuff. I mean, but I do know this, though, that when I saw the list of names that are people that were associated with David Epstein, and then he popped up, I immediately thought of you. It was just, you know.
Wow.
So it's
is
just.
That why, have I mentioned David Copperfield before?
Yeah, you have. And okay. And I don't remember it being. All I remember is that it wasn't a very positive mention. And, you know, so. But, yeah. Actually, the only thing I will tell you. The one thing that I'm going to say about this, though, is that you're going to go online, and I have a feeling that this is the question that you're going to ask, because I'm asking it, okay? People are going to – you're going to go online, then you're going to talk about names that are in the list, names that are on the list. The thing is, I don't know where to see the list. I mean, I don't know where, you know, you're going to be able to look at it. And yes, that's probably what you would say. I could see you doing that. I could see you looking up the headlines and saying, where's the list, you know. But I think what it is the reason they don't publish the list is that it's a very long document, about a couple hundred pages. And it has people in it. That's what I'm saying.
Well, what are you thinking? I mean, this is pretty bad. You don't know what happened with me and David Copperfield. You don't know what happened with me and David Copperfield. So, but say something did happen. What would you be thinking right now?
I feel very sad for you. I mean, you know.
Why? Why did you take that for me?
Because, I mean, it's just that, you know, you were this young lady and he took advantage of you.
Exactly. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you. And I didn't even know it because I was so young. I was 16. I was 16 years old in high school. And they know. They know. And you know what? If they don't know how old you are, they should ask you.
Right.
I never was asked. I have a lot of details. I have a lot of details. And by the way, remember I told you that I saw him later after I became Playboy Playmate, and he was doing a magic show in Las Vegas, and we were there probably for a Wet n Wild, a big event, and I was the only Playboy Playmate who said, I'm passing. I don't want to go to that magic show. And then, you won't even believe it, though. I was able to confront him because I did go to the after event, which was at Wolfgang Puck's restaurant in Las Vegas. I think at the Bellagio. I remember this wonderful place. And he was there right at the bar where I was standing, and I said, we've met before. And I told him, of something that only he and I would know. I told him this, and you should have seen his face went white, completely sheet white when I said this info. Yeah, he knew. He knew he was, now I'd like to say caught. He was caught. But back then I was just saying, oh, remember. That's what I was really saying. And he did remember. So,
mm.
To be continued, right? To be continued. This is a big revelation. And because when you are taken advantage of when you were really young like that, you just kind of sweep it under the rug for many, many, many years. So whoever puts it into some kind of time frame of you have to report this before a certain time, well, I don't know who makes that up, but we're going to find out. And then I guess it'll be up to me to report it.
Yeah, I think the thing is, though, is that it's... I know what you're talking about, statute of limitations is what that is.
Yes.
But I mean, again, you know, you're talking about legal stuff that I don't know. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, you know. So, but I mean, but apparently, I will just, you know, it is weird. I mean, when I saw that his name was mentioned, you know, then it's kind of like, oh boy, you know.
And you thought of me right then?
What?
And you thought of me right then?
Yeah, immediately, because...
Well,
because
you didn't call me. You just
I mean, it wasn't, like, I didn't think that you got to understand, when they told me about him, they didn't just tell me, but I heard about him, I didn't just hear about him, I heard about other names, too. But the thing is those people that you hear, like the Donald Trump and Bill Clinton, and let me tell you something else, that because you hear other things that kind of overshadow that. For example, they say that Bill Clinton was quoted as saying, "I like him young."
Mm.
You know,
nervous about Donald Trump, though, at all, because you know I dated him, but that was when I was 25.
Right.
So he's in the clear with me, Donald.
Yeah, he's, well, see, what they say, this is what they say about Trump and Epstein, is that, yes, they associated with Epstein, but... Donald Trump stopped associating with Epstein before the whole thing came out. So he cut off all ties. So in other words, it wasn't like he associated with... See, the big deal is going to be who associated with him after the legal problems, you see. Because mm-hmm. that means that they knew, and then they did it anyway. And it's sort of like... You understand? But
yes, I do.
You also have to understand that not everybody knows what's going on. Like, for example, I've heard some people in the news say that they were at a party and with Epstein, and they started remembering, gee, the ladies, the people that took our coats seem awfully young, you know? So... I mean, it was like nobody was really paying attention to what's going on.
No, because they're assuming that they're handling their life with adults that are responsible.
Right.
And then find out later, not. I don't think there's anything wrong with Donald Trump with that. That's just me. But
no.
There is a problem with David Copperfield, because I heard another thing shortly after I even dated him, that he was doing some weird things. So he will probably be looked at under a microscopic lens.
I'm actually...
If he's doing something wrong, don't you think that he should be reprimanded?
Of course. I mean, but I'm not the person to know what to look for, but yeah, he's did something wrong.
Johnny, listen to what happened. Listen to what happened after my rendezvous with David Copperfield. Listen to what happens. I am in a mental state of my mental state, which is a young, impressionable teenager, 16, 17 years old. I could have been 17, but that's under 18. I'm very impressionable, and I will give you a perfect example of how impressionable I was. Literally, my best friend and I sat in my little room and did a pros and cons. We wrote pros of why it would be good for me to be with David Copperfield, pros and cons of why. Because my dad always taught me to do, when you can't make a decision, you can't make one. And so he told me about pros and cons. So we literally wrote it, pencil and paper, pros and cons of why I should go with David Copperfield or why I should go with my high school boyfriend. This is showing the world right here of how impressionable a little under 18-year-old girl can be.
Right.
I literally thought that I could be with David Copperfield. I thought that was a choice of mine. I was going home to choose my boyfriend or David Copperfield after what happened to me after the David Copperfield magic show in Tacoma, Washington, when I was 17 years old, maybe even 16. I will get the timeline. I will know the date, but I was definitely under 18. I was impressionable because I came home and I did a pros and cons report on who I should be with after what happened to me. Okay? So what do you think about that? For heaven's sakes, I'm going home and I am putting this guy.
No, at that age, you're impressionable.
That guy, his boyfriend in high school, or this magician, David Copperfield. I am literally thinking I have the choice between the two. That is why it is so wrong to have sexual relationships with an underage child, because they are children. They think like children.
Mm-hmm.
They do.
And what's worse, they don't even know they think like children. I mean, it's one thing to know when you think like a child. It's another thing to not even know.
I was a child. I was thinking like a child. This happened to me. Wherever things roll, wherever they land, let it be. Let it be.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, take this at its face value, everybody. Do you? Stay tuned, I guess. That's all I can say.
So now you want to do the shout out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. Make sure you follow us on Life, Laughter, Happiness Blog Talk Radio so you can get all of our updates for future shows. Like on Friday when we have Psychic Night with Psychic Del Shear and we take callers. We actually take callers every show. So get your dialing fingers active and do follow us on all of our social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Life, Laughter, Happiness. Life, Laughter, Happiness podcast show on Facebook. We would like to hear your input about tonight's episode. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
See you on Friday. Thanks, Johnny.